Wednesday night offering. Good to see each and every one of you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for what you did on Sunday morning and Sunday night, God. I pray that it would happen tonight again, Lord. We're expecting it, God, and we're believing it, God. I pray that you would bless each and every individual that's here, those listening online, and have your way in this service tonight. Touch our pastor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
You're the peace in my storm. Your loving arms protect me. They shelter me from harm. You are Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. You're my strong tower, my dearest and best friend. And it was you who made my life complete. You are to me my everything, and that is why I sing. Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. You care, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you because you
care. Does anybody love you in the place?
Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Because you care. Jesus, I love you. Because you care. Jesus,
Seen it, but just in case you did, I want to clear your mind. If you saw me with this pink iPad, I do not believe preachers should bring pink iPads to the pulpit.
Come on, brother.
Okay. All right. In case someone saw it and went home disturbed in your spirit. Amen. Our kids are all at, or two of our kids are at youth camp this week. Jenna's with them, and my little boy went to my parents' house, and he took my iPad that has all of my notes, all of my messages on that, and and so I had to make do with London's iPad today. So that's whose iPad you were seeing tonight. Amen. So good to be in church tonight. God bless you for being here. And I do want to say tonight, Brother Weiss, Holt, he has a lovely new bride, Sister Christiana. We're excited about that tonight. Amen. Love and appreciate them. I'm excited about that. Amen. Luke chapter 6 tonight, I'm going to read three different portions of Scripture in Luke chapter 6, Matthew 16, and then Acts chapter 2. I'll also read Ephesians. We'll kind of do a little bit of a run around here tonight, getting started. And this is Jesus speaking here. I'm picking up in Luke chapter 6, verse 13, and he's calling his disciples. It says in verse 13, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Matthew 16, verses 18 through 20, Jesus is fixing to set in motion the proclamation of the coming of the apostolic church. Peter has a revelation of who Jesus is, and Jesus tells him, I say unto you, you are Peter. And on this rock, on this revelation that you have, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. We see here in Matthew 16 that Jesus is declaring his intent to build a church. He gives the apostle Peter the keys. He prophesies about this church that the hell cannot defeat this church. This is the announcement of what is coming but not yet fulfilled. We preached about this on Sunday. What a powerful service we had here on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I go back to Acts chapter 2 tonight to speak about the fulfillment of that word and the birth of the apostolic church. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's still essential even for today. Amen. What Jesus promised here is fulfilled. It is the beginning of the apostolic church. And I want to just give me one more scripture in our text tonight, Ephesians chapter 2. This is the continuation. Some have said that when the book of Acts ended, that the church, speaking in tongues, all of these things that are our foundational tools went away. But that's not Bible. Paul, speaking here in verse 19 of Ephesians, says, "Therefore, you and I, are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation," everyone said, "of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole," everyone said, the whole building, that's me and you, "being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also," everyone say, "are being." It's an active thing. You're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It starts with Jesus calling his disciples and saying that they're going to be his apostles. In Matthew, Jesus proclaims there will be a church. In the book of Acts, that church is birthed. And Paul, in his writings to the Ephesians, lets us know that you and I are that church. We are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, and Christ himself is the cornerstone. I want to talk to us tonight on this subject, apostolic. What's that? Apostolic. What's that? Let's pray. Lord, bless your word. Anoint us tonight. Speak to us tonight. God, let the Holy Ghost do what only you can do, God. Your word's anointed. I ask you to anoint me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everyone said amen. High five somebody. Tell them you look great tonight. Don't lie about that. I hope you mean that. No one high-five anybody. Good God. High-five somebody. Tell them you look great. Man, it's 400 degrees up here on this platform. Let me turn this air down to about 48. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Thank you for sitting up closer tonight. God bless you for that. Apostolic. What's that? The true meaning of apostolic comes from the word apostle, which in Greek means one who is sent or a messenger with authority. Let me just start by saying this. Who in here, when you came into the church, wondered, what in the world is that name, apostolic? Anyone ever thought about why do we say apostolic? When I was in Abilene, there was a guy out there, great guy. He never had been inside of an apostolic church. And he came in one service and he said, "Man," he said, "I love coming to this apostolic church." I said, "We're glad to have you at the First Apostolic Church of Abilene. God bless you." Amen. Apostolic. Lots of folks, they know a surface meaning of what the word apostolic means, but they don't really know the true depth of it. But when you and I, when we say apostolic in the biblical and Pentecostal context, we mean much more than just a word, but it represents an identity, a doctrine, a lifestyle that is rooted in the New Testament church. Apostolic means built on the apostles' doctrine. Listen to this statement I read. It said, to be apostolic doesn't mean that we're just a part of a denomination, but to be apostolic means we are committed to the original blueprint laid out by Jesus through the apostles. We are not building on tradition or modern trends, but we are building upon the apostles' doctrine. We preach. If you've been to an apostolic Pentecostal church, you'll hear a whole lot of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 39. Acts 2, 1 through 4 deals with the birth of the church. 4 to 37 deals with the Holy Ghost being outpoured, people freaking out in the streets. Why aren't these men speaking our languages? They're drunk. Peter stands up. He preaches. These men, they aren't drunk as you suppose. You get to verse 37, they're convicted because Peter's preached a message of conviction saying, you're the man, you're the problem, you're the one that caused this Christ, our Christ, to be crucified. They're convicted. They ask, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter preaches our candy stick message, the greatest scripture in the Bible. Then Peter said unto them, one of you, repent and every, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the washing away of your sins, and you shall receive. Verse 39. For the promise is to you, it's to your, it's to all who are afar off, even as many as. What's verse 40 say? Anybody know? Anybody know what verse 41 says? How about, yeah. Yeah, that's verse 40. How about verse 42? Anybody know what verse 43, verse 44, verse 45, 46? I know it's funny how God put the book together and he put it there for us to read. And it's there for our learning. It's there for, Paul said, for reproof, for correction, for rebuke. It's there for all these things if we'll let it be that in our lives. So when you read the Bible, it's important that you realize that our candy stick verses that we love to hammer on, and I love them too, but it don't just end in verse 39. It doesn't just end in verse 40, but I want to pay particular attention just for a few minutes tonight, because when you study Acts 2:38 through Acts 40, the Apostle Peter, he preaches to those that are there that day this saving gospel message, and he preaches to them how to rid themselves from the conviction, from this nasty, dirty heart that they feel. And he tells them, this is how you do it. You repent, you're baptized, the Holy Ghost falls. And then verse 41 is the kicker. Listen to this verse. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, the Bible says, there were added unto them about 3,000 hours. I could stop there, no doubt, and preach an hour-long Bible study on the first few words of verse 41. Then they that gladly received his. Lots of people hear his word, but lots of people refuse to receive his word. You've heard the statement, perhaps you said it to your kids like I said it to mine and like my daddy said it to me 1,000 times growing up. I know you heard me, but are you really listening to me? Meaning, are you really grasping what I'm trying to tell you? The Bible says it this way in Luke chapter 6. The NIV says, Jesus speaking, but to you who are listening. That means there's lots of people who ain't listening. But if you are listening, I want you to listen up. Jesus says, those of you who are willing to receive it, those of you who are willing to open and hear, and not just hear, but act upon my challenging words, I'm talking to you. The Bible is serious, whether you believe it or not. It's serious about us not just hearing casually, but truly listening with the heart that is ready to receive and take action. Notice these verses I'm going to read to you tonight. The Bible speaks of this over and over and over. Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 7, and I won't read the whole verse, but he says this in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, listen to how he links this, I will liken him to a wise man. He said, he who hears, he who listens, I liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Remember this, hearing and doing are always linked together. Jesus said in Matthew 1:15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. James told us in chapter 1 and 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Again, hearing and doing are linked together. John 10, Jesus said, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They hear, and because they take action through obedience, through his word, they in turn follow him. Mark 4, 24, the Bible says this, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding, Jesus said, you will be given and you will receive even more. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. New Living Translation, that same verse says it like this. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Revelations 3, Jesus is speaking here. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And Paul kind of sums it up when he says, so then faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. So it is here in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who gladly received or heard Peter's words, those who gladly received this saving message, those who gladly heard that first message preached by the apostle at the founding of the apostolic church, those who heard it were baptized. That tells me again, there were a lot of those that day who did not really hear the word, and they sure didn't receive it gladly. That word receive in Acts 2:41 in the Greek, it means to receive in a welcoming, deliberate, and ready way, to take with the mind, to approve, to embrace, and to make one's own. It means to accept a message with agreement and hospitality. This wasn't just hearing the message, but it was gladly welcoming it into their hearts. It involved, hear this, when this word receive, it involved submission to the truth, belief in what Peter preached, and a willingness to respond. The Bible says they were baptized after they heard the word. There are many people who sit on pews, service after service, yet they do not welcome the word of God with open arms. They do not embrace the word of God, and they sure don't respond gladly to the word of God. And as a result, they live lives that are bound. They live lives that are incomplete. They, as the Bible says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. What does that mean? That means they hear it, but they don't do it. And as a result, they do not allow the power of God to change their lives. I feel to insert this again right here. Do not be deceived by the chill bumps you feel when God begins to move. And thank God for every time He blesses us. Thank God for divine moves of the Spirit like we had on Sunday evening. But you have to understand something. It's a whole lot deeper than what you feel. There's something called the power of God. And the power of God comes in lots of different forms. And lots of times it comes in conviction. Lots of times it comes in God leading and guiding you as you allow Him to lead and guide you. So He said, listen. And you have to make sure you don't have just the form. You have to make sure you don't know just how to play the part, do the part, but you have to be the part. You have to let the Holy Ghost change you from the inside. And the power of God has to have access to your life. You have to give Him free rein in your life. You have to let Him work on you. I've said it over and over. The Bible says He only disciplines those. He only, King James calls it chastises. He only chastises those that He loves. That means if He loves you, He's convicting you. If you don't feel conviction no more, if you don't feel God leading you no more, I'd make sure I prayed until God got a hold of me again, because I never want to lose God telling me you shouldn't be doing that. You better clean up your attitude. You better make sure your spirit's right. Why? Because I want the Lord to work on me until I go to the grave. We sung the Sunday school song, but baby, it's a whole lot bigger than the Sunday school song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I want Jesus to know, you got full access here, Lord. Work on me day in and day out. Amen. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free if you let it. I can know there's a beautiful fudge round and a 20-ounce Dr. Pepper locked behind the pantry door. I can talk about it. I can call my wife about it and say how great it is and how good it's going to be when I get a hold of that thing. But until I open the door and go get it, it's going to do me no good. And lots of folks, oh God, I feel a rambling spirit. Lots of folks, they've heard about it. They've talked about it. God's talked to them. God's came to them. And truth has been presented. And they act like they can't get free because I don't know what I'm going to tell you what's wrong. You ain't opened the door. You ain't went to where truth is talking and truth's trying to tell you, I'm trying to get into you. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to open some things in your life. God have mercy. Listen, the Bible says those that gladly received the word, this is what they did, and this is where I'm going tonight. Verse 42 of Acts 2. They continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Those who chose to hear the word of the Lord. Those who chose to listen to what God was saying. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That two little words, continued steadfastly, it means they continued to do something with intense effort despite difficulty. They continued steadfastly means they persisted in it. They adhered to it. They stayed devoted to it. They were constantly diligent in their pursuing of the doctrine. It's used in the sense of loyal devotion, persevering commitment, and sticking close without wavering. These believers in Acts 2 and 42, they didn't just casually listen to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to it. They clung to it, and they made it a part of their daily foundation. They were not hit and miss. They continued steadfastly in what the apostles' doctrine said. I don't have time to preach on this tonight, but you hear me right now. It is vital that you stay connected to the body of Christ. It is vital that you connect yourself to the house that preaches the truth of God's word unwavering. We're not trying to preach something tonight that's just watered down and shallow. No. I want the Holy Ghost to lead and to guide and to direct my steps. I said it on Sunday. Ezekiel talks about going to waters to his ankles and waters to his knees and waters to his loins. And finally he gets to a place to where he says, I got in some waters. All I could do was swim. What he meant with this, all I could do was just follow the current and let the current take me. That's what we need right now in the apostolic church. We need people who don't just splash around, but they surrender completely to the Spirit and to His leading and to His direction. Those who continue steadfastly, those who are committed to it. Everyone say the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine, it was that authoritative teaching and instruction that came from the apostles who were sent by Jesus about how to live and how to believe and how to walk in the truth of the gospel. In other words, they became what we now call apostolics, meaning they were committed to the original blueprint that was laid down by Jesus through the apostles. They refused to build on tradition or modern trends. They continued solely in the apostles' doctrine. They were apostolic. I have to insert here, there are, and I'm very careful how I preface this tonight. I hope you know my heart. If not, just come talk to me and I'll explain myself, but I don't have time to do it tonight. There are lots of Pentecostal names that float around, but I want to just maybe put a little disclaimer here. We're not just Pentecostal in word only. We are apostolic Pentecostals. Yeah. There's lots of folks who call themselves Pentecostals, and I thank God for their experiences. I'm not knocking that at all. But we are apostolic Pentecostals. In other words, we follow, we cling, we strive to do and to teach all that the apostles taught in the Scripture. We are apostolic. Now, I want to give a brief history here on that word, in case you're wondering, what in God's name, apostolic, where did that come from? I want to give just a brief history on the word apostolic and where it came from and where it started and why it originated. The term apostolic started being used after the early church period. It is not found in the Bible, but it developed as a way to describe churches or their beliefs that follow the apostles' teachings. Commentary and church history show that the word apostolic began to appear in writings by early church fathers like Irenaeus in 180 AD to defend the original teachings of the apostles against false doctrine. By the 4th and the 5th centuries, more church leaders used the term apostolic faith to separate true doctrine from false teaching. Then during the Protestant Reformation of the 1500s, many reformers said they were returning to the apostolic church found in the book of Acts. And if you study any of church history in the last 125 years, you'll know that in the early 1900s, during the Pentecostal outpouring, especially Azusa Street, that believers who preached this Acts 2:38 message of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost infilling, and those who preached and believed in the oneness of God and rejected the man-made tradition in favor of the original Bible-based doctrine, they begin calling themselves apostolic Pentecostals to show that they follow the same gospel that the apostles preached and the same gospel, the doctrines that they taught. So today, when we say that we are apostolic, we are saying that we follow the same message, we follow the same doctrine and the same mission that the apostles followed. Now, I must insert here before moving on, there are four main groups on planet Earth who still call themselves apostolic. They are the Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Trinitarian Pentecostal Apostolic Churches, and the Oneness Apostolic Churches. But three of the four, just stay with me tonight, three of the four do not follow all of the apostles' doctrine. Now, I name things, some folks don't like that, but if you don't, pray for Brad. Three of the four, the Roman Catholic Church, this is why, I'm going to give you a little history, this is why they call themselves apostolic. They believe in apostolic succession, meaning their leaders, like the Pope, supposedly trace spiritual authority back to the Apostle Peter. But this is why they are not truly apostolic. Over time, the Catholic Church has added traditions that are not taught by the apostles in Scripture. They added Council of Nicaea, 325 AD. You can go read it for yourself. They conceived this idea of the Trinitarian doctrine as defined again by church council centuries later after the book of Acts. They formed infant baptism, praying to Mary and the saints, purgatory and indulgences, all these things. And these teachings are not found in the original apostolic message. These teachings are not found anywhere in the entire Bible. Okay? And they call themselves apostolic. But that debunks that, because you cannot be apostolic if you don't follow the teachings of what the apostles taught. The Eastern Orthodox Church, they call themselves apostolic. And they call themselves apostolic like the Catholic Church, because they claim to preserve the early church's teachings and practices passed down from the apostles. But they're not truly apostolic. They rely heavily on church traditions and rituals instead of the direct teaching from the apostles. They follow the Trinitarian method. They baptize infants. They don't preach Jesus' name baptism. They do not teach the Holy Ghost infilling, speaking in tongues. This is why, hear me tonight, folks, I'm not at all criticizing or dogging. I respect anyone's experience, but I want to talk to us about this word apostolic. It's more than just something we throw around in a Pentecostal service. It has meaning to it. It has depth to it. That third group, the Trinitarian Pentecostal Apostolic Churches, they call themselves apostolic because these are Pentecostal churches that they believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They believe in baptism. They believe in holiness, lots of them. And they may use the name apostolic, but they're not truly apostolic because they do not believe in the oneness of God. They do not baptize only in the name of Jesus. They baptize in the titles, which is not a biblical method. They may emphasize repentance and spirit baptism, but they leave out the full Acts 2:38 message, and the apostles never ever baptized in the titles. Only the name of Jesus was the only thing used throughout Scripture. Again, this is not a message to beat up on people. I don't believe in doing stuff like that, but you have to hear me right now. These groups, they may call themselves apostolic, but to be truly apostolic, one must follow the original doctrine preached by the apostles in the book of Acts and all the apostles throughout the Gospels, the epistles, Peter, Paul, James, Jude, John. There must be a clear delineation on what is apostolic and what is just Pentecostal. We are apostolic Pentecostal in word and in deed. Amen. It means following. Stay with me tonight. It means following the full doctrine the apostles preached and wrote. Not just the new birth, but also holiness, godly living, separation from the world, spiritual authority, the oneness of God, and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Acts 2:38 is just the starting point for apostolic doctrine. But the whole New Testament shows us apostolics, how we are meant to live, walk, and lead throughout every century in time. Being apostolic means obeying the full counsel of God delivered through the apostles. We are talking about apostolic. What's that? Being apostolic is adhering to the doctrines taught by the apostles in the scripture. What is doctrine? Doctrine means a set of teachings or beliefs, especially the core truths taught in the Bible. In the apostolic church, doctrine refers to what the apostles taught about salvation, holiness, the Godhead, and how to live for God. Again, I repeat, being apostolic is adhering to the apostolic doctrine taught in Scripture. To be apostolic means we follow all the apostles taught. What it means to be apostolic. What doctrine did they teach? Of course, I've talked about it already. They taught the doctrine, the essentiality of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. Both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul taught the essentiality of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. I don't have time to rehash all of this again, but Peter spoke about it when he spoke to the church in Acts chapter 2. Paul is preaching in Acts chapter 19. He goes down to Corinth. He sees some people. He asks them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They say, "We haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he asked the question, "How were you baptized? And why, or what baptism were you baptized unto?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Let me just emphasize this tonight. It does matter that you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul could have easily said, "That's all right, guys. That was just a profession of your faith. It doesn't matter how you're baptized." No, no, no. But Paul, the Bible says, Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." There had to be something changed. They had to realize that baptism was more than just going down and getting wet. When you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if you do it without any understanding, you don't have any truth to you. But if you have truth that sets you free, you know when you go down in a watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ, it is you, as the Apostle Paul says, we are buried with Christ. We are buried unto his death, and we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the scripture says that your sins are washed away. They are remitted. And the blood of Jesus, God have mercy, the blood of Jesus covers you from top of your head to the soles of your feet. It is essential, and that is the apostolic way. Peter emphasized it. Paul emphasized it. Paul and John both. I'll just go quickly through this about apostolic. What is that? What are these doctrines they taught? Paul and John mentioned and preached and taught about the oneness of God, that God is one. Paul spoke about it when he said in Colossians 2 that in Jesus, in him, dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John talked about it when he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In verse 14, he summed it up when he said, "The Word became flesh. It dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Paul would tell his young protege in the gospel, Timothy, "God, Timothy, he was manifest in the flesh, and he was justified in the Spirit," letting us know that this doctrine of the oneness of God, it is apostolic. We trace it back to the Bible when it tells us in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Hear me tonight. The Bible Bible always interprets left to right. You don't interpret it right to left. It builds on top of itself. In the Old Testament, it's shadows. In the Old Testament, it's Jesus concealed. But in the New Testament, it's Jesus revealed. When you get in the New Testament, you see Jesus come to life off the pages, and you realize this is the one they spoke about in Isaiah when he said, there's one coming, and his name shall be called Comforter. He'll be a counselor. He'll be a mighty God. It's apostolic, folks. That's what it is. That's who we are. We get our blood in the apostolic roots of the Word of God. That's our bloodline. Thank God for His Word. What is apostolic? What is that? What is core doctrines that the apostles taught that lets us know that we are apostolic, that we teach and we preach and we live what the Word says, holiness and separation from the world? Peter, Paul, and John both emphasize it. First Peter, Peter speaking said, he who called you is a holy. You also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Paul said, therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. First John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a core doctrine of the apostolic church, that we are holy, we are godly people, we are set apart in this world. We don't look like the world, we don't act like the world, we don't talk like the world. We're apostolic from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. I'm not trying to muddy the waters. I'm not trying to blend. No. I'm not trying to be quote unquote relevant. I can be relevant and be apostolic. I can be relevant and be anointed by the Holy Ghost and the Lord baptized. That's what we need right now. I told you 2 weeks ago, this generation, it's been polled in the last 2 years what the young people want of this generation is for a church to be authentic. They want genuine Holy Ghost moves of the Spirit every single service. They don't want fake, cold, dead, dry religion. Now, that's our candy sticks. Salvation, man, oneness of God, holiness. Oh, I can preach that. But did you know also in the Bible that if you're going to be apostolic, if you're going to be truly apostolic Pentecostal, there's a doctrine also that John, James, and Paul taught, and it's the doctrine of love, humility, and godly living. My little children, he said, let us not love in word or in tongue, but let's also love in deed and in truth. How about love one another? How about you better love your brother like you love yourself? That ain't a doctrine. God didn't say that. You've lost your mind. Oh, you might want to read the Bible. I'm talking about being apostolic. See, we preach the fire out of holiness, outward. I believe in that stuff, but you hear me. We at times have been lost with inward holiness. I've met devils from hell who were inwardly wolves inside. They'd cut your head off with your tongue. They'd chop you up. Upside one down, one side down, and up, whatever how you say it, they just mess you up. They look right. Let me tell you something. You're not apostolic if it's just halfway. You're what we call Pharisees. You're what Jesus said: on the outside the cup's clean, but on the inside it's messed up. You're what Jesus said: that on the inside you look right, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. You talk it, you act it, but you ain't it. And Jesus said, don't forget that this core doctrine of being apostolic is about loving not the world, but loving Christ, loving your neighbor as you love yourself, falling in love with my purpose, my plan, having a humble heart, a spirit of humility. And the world don't start and end with you. Amen. Paul said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's hard to live that sometimes. That's a core doctrine of being apostolic. That's what apostolic is preferring your brother over yourself. Ooh, I felt my help moving the room. That's what apostolic is preferring your sister over yourself. Oh, God, help me right here. Is realizing I ain't got to always be right. Half the time, you probably ain't right. I feel to say this. I don't know why. You hear me right now again. It's okay for me to go to you, Sister Candy, and say, if I offended you, will you forgive me? If there's any doubt in my spirit. Well, you don't know. No. That's your problem. Pride's got you up here. And I'm preaching about being apostolic. He said, you better make sure humility's at work in your spirit. You better make sure that you understand. You want Holy Ghost. You want holiness inwardly and outwardly. Yes, sir, I want all of that. You want the oneness of God preached. Yes, I do. He said, all right, well, then let's get to where you're living. Let's get inside of your spirit. What would happen, Brad, if your spirit was exposed? God, please don't ever do that. What would they see of my thought process? What would they feel if they really knew what I was thinking about them? God, help me to have a pure mind. A pure heart. It got tied in here, but it's right. Apostolic. I want to be apostolic. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to be it. It is a core doctrine of the New Testament. You study Scripture, other core doctrines. There's order in the church, spiritual gifts. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit operating here. That is apostolic. Amen. We believe in the fivefold ministry in this church. Prophets, teachers, apostles, evangelists, they pastors, they all operate in this house. And we want gifts, tongues, and interpretation. We want the gift of healing, the gift of wisdom. We want all nine gifts working in this room. Why? Because that is apostolic. That is what it's all about. The Bible says, let things be done decently and in order. I love this verse when folks say, man, you've lost your mind. Why are y'all acting so crazy? The Bible says you should be doing everything decently and in order. That is decent and in order. The Spirit of God taking over a service, that's always been in order. It's been happening since He established the church. I'm going to jump ahead of myself. The Bible says when Peter preached in Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius' house, the Scripture says he never finished his message. The Bible says while he was preaching, Brother Coy, the Holy Ghost fell on them where they were seated, and they knew they got it, the Bible says, because they heard him speak with tongues, and they realized he can interrupt my service anytime. What is that, preacher? That's apostolic. That's what it's all about. Oh, yes, it is. Another core apostolic doctrine is contending for the faith. Jude said it. His book ain't long, but it's a powerful book. Jude said, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, listen to this, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He said, you make sure to the day they put you in a ground that you contend for this apostolic Holy Ghost message. Don't let anybody water it. Don't water it down, tamp it out. No. We are apostolic from the top to the bottom and contend for that. Believe in that. Fight for that. Preach on that. Teach on that. Lead your family in that. Whoever, 2 John says, transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Being apostolic is more than a name. It is the full way of life based on the message that Jesus gave to his apostles. And to be apostolic is to teach the full message that Jesus gave to his apostles, including, again, salvation, the oneness of God, holiness, spiritual gifts, godly living, church order, love, just as they preach in the book of Acts and through every book in the New Testament. That is what it means to be apostolic. To be apostolic is to walk in the original pattern of the church that Jesus established. And as an apostolic Pentecostal church, while it is vital that our foundation is strong and right, and while volume. It is vital that we be rooted and grounded in the core apostolic doctrine. While we must fully commit and embrace the doctrine the apostles taught the church, we must also understand it's more than just teaching and believing the doctrine, but we must by faith do what the apostles did. What did they do? By the authority of the name of Jesus, they cast out devils, they prayed for the sick, they recovered, they preached with boldness, the gifts of the Spirit operated in their lives, and as a result of their faith, the Bible says that signs followed them. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. To be truly apostolic is not just to preach, to teach, and to obey, but it's also to see it in demonstration. Paul said, I don't come with words, enticing words of men's wisdom, but I come to you in power and in demonstration. I don't know about you tonight. I know it's Wednesday, but I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm seeking after more than just theology classes. I thank God for the doctrine. We'll teach and preach the doctrine here, but my God, we need the Holy Ghost and fire to hit this house on every service. We need the demonstration of the power of the Spirit in this house. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. What did he mean when he said greater works, because I'm going to my Father? Jesus told us in John 16, it's to your advantage I go away. If I go not away, the helper cannot come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. In Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why is this power? What's it about? You shall be witnesses to me. That greater works, it doesn't mean greater in power. We're not greater in power than Jesus Christ. He has all power, but he meant greater in scope. Jesus preached to thousands in his day, but the apostles would go to the nations. He said, greater works than these shall you do. And I'm waiting off at the end of this message tonight into faith. And I don't want to be misunderstood, but I pray you'll follow my heart at the end here. Proceeding me have been men who did greater works through the power of Jesus Christ. From men like C.P. Kilgore and James Kilgore and Brother Watson to Pastor Meyer, God did greater works in all of these men. But as I've told you before, God is a moving God. I recognize tonight I stand on the shoulders of mighty men of the faith, men who I would be honored just to carry their Bible to the pulpit if they let me, men who paid heavy prices for the apostolic doctrine. I realize all of that and I give them great honor and respect and appreciation, but please hear me tonight. You and I right now in 2025, we have the ability through the power of the Holy Ghost to do greater things in our own time that's never been done up until this point. I'm not preaching tonight from a competitive point of view. That's stupid. I'm not trying to compete with the past. I'm preaching from faith's point of view tonight. I'm preaching from what it is to be apostolic. Greater things. God wants to do greater things. We're going to need, Brother Newberry, like we talked about today, we'll need chairs set out in this house before it's over with. God is going to do something above and beyond what we can ask or think. That is apostolic. That's what it means to be apostolic in word and in deed. Amen. I'm chasing after being apostolic. I'm chasing after doing what the apostles did. I'm chasing after seeing what they saw, doing what they did. I realize I'm not to be a sign seeker. I understand that signs will follow me, but you hear my heart. I want signs, I want miracles, and I want wonders. And I realize if I'm going to get that, it's going to be through belief. And belief is a whole lot more than confession. Belief is putting faith in action, saying, you got cancer? Let's pray for you and see if God will
going to do something. You need the Holy Ghost? Stand up right now and see if God can't fill you right now. What is that? That's apostolic. That's who we are, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet.
Let me just, I've just felt this come in the room. Don't ever be ashamed of who you are. Sunday night, who's hucking and bucking up here? I don't know about you, but anybody besides me ever just stop in a service and look around? Anybody ever got a splash over blessing? Anybody know what that means? I'm watching you, I just start hucking and bucking because you're getting blessed by God. Now, I don't recommend that, but that's called nosy blessings. But I've seen more services. Like on Sunday night, when the Holy Ghost invades the house, I don't know who was here. 200, a great crowd here Sunday night. 200 plus folks in this house. And at one point, it looked like about 98% everybody was set on fire with it. And the drum was gone, then I guess we'll put the drum. Folks, let me tell you something. What we do ain't going to make lots of sense to people. I got an answer for you. Who cares? I talked to Brother Craig Adams yesterday. I said, good God, man. Your boy run a 440 and a 4.4 in a flat 40-yard dash and took off running. Thank God he didn't hit a wall. I mean, he was running fast. But I tell you what I love about worship like that. I know when it's anointed, I know when it ain't, when it ain't. And that was anointed Holy Ghost worship. I wouldn't trade that for all the gold in the entire world. That's pretty weak. I'm not worried about who says, or what they think, or what if this? No, 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 folks. We are apostolic. It's who we are. Our roots are traced back to David dancing like a madman, and he didn't even have the Holy Ghost. He danced before it was ever poured out. That's why some of you can't control yourself when it hits you, because you can't contain TNT on the inside of you. When it gets on you, baby, it's got to let something out. That is apostolic. It's who we are. Paul said, I was so much in the Spirit, I didn't even know what heaven I was in. I was just lost in another world. I just prayed until. I just lived the word that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous woman, it availeth much. Why? Because that is apostolic. I travail. I intercede. I push. I press. I do whatever I gotta do to get to Jesus, because I'm hungry and I'm desperate to let him know I believe you can still heal. I believe you can still deliver. I believe you can still set free. And you said, if I believe these signs, they would follow me. If I believe. There was ever a time, and I close if we all stand, if there was ever a time that we need apostolic in doctrine and in demonstration, it is right now. I said, if there was ever a time we need apostolic, Holy Ghost, Pentecostal services, however you want to say it. I don't even care what you call yourself. If you preach the word, you preach the truth. That ain't what bothers me. We need the real thing operating. We need the Holy Ghost moving, taking over, taking control. And I don't want you, I feel it for the second time. Don't ever leave this house ashamed of who you are. If someone asks who you are, it's okay to say, I'm apostolic Pentecost. What's that mean? That's a great door for a Bible study. Yeah, I'm proud about it. I'm happy about it. Well, you speak in tongues? Yeah, I speak in tongues. Y'all had fun and dressed funny? Yeah, we do. It's just who we are. We're just apostolic Pentecost. We just love this life. Why? Because he's been so good to me. I'm trying to trace my roots all the way back. I'm not tracing my roots to 1900 Azusa Street. No, no, no. I trace my roots back to the book of Acts when this church was established, and I'm doing everything
everything I can to follow the line, precept upon precept, line upon line. I want to make sure I follow the apostles' doctrine everywhere.
Let me just end like this. This will help all of you who are doubting me right now. Anybody remember where you were the night you received the Holy Ghost for the first time? Please raise your hand. It's okay. We're Pentecostal. 99%. I can take you to where I was standing. Little bitty boy. Clint Husband. We had the old days. Prayer lines. People get prayed for in a chair. Remember those days? You better not sit in the chair. They shake you out of the chair. I never forget that. We had about 80 people lined up in that old church. Them elders, white hair. If they got a hold of you, you'd pray through or you'd run out. I've heard Brother Anthony Mangan say, Brother G.A. Mangan, if he felt like the church wasn't prayed up, he'd have a prayer line. He said he'd shake you to the floor, making sure you had the Holy Ghost on inside of you. I won't do that here, I promise. He said, I never forget it. Prayer line here, Clint sitting there. I was just worshiping. I can take you to right where I was standing. And it felt like a river, all I can say. And out of me came these words. I didn't know what they were. I had never spoken before. It was like somebody had control of me. And I couldn't, and when I stopped, it was like, my God, what was that? It was apostolic. I can't explain it, but I experienced it. Amen. Now raise your hand one more time. You told me you know where you were. I promise you, baby, you're apostolic because you can take somebody to the spot and say, it sounds funny, it sounds crazy. They say speaking in tongues for the past, but I can take you to where I was when that book of Acts experience happened to me. You can't argue with the testimony. That's why the very first thing the devil does, when you get the Holy Ghost, he says stuff like this. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. He really didn't speak into why? Because he understands the power of the Spirit that lives on the inside of you. Jamie Seaton's wife, Courtney, we were having lunch here a while back, a couple years ago. They were in Turkey. I forget who y'all's family is over there, that missionary over there. And they were in a service that night. And Courtney was playing the piano. And the Holy Ghost fell on her. I'm talking about apostolic. And she said, later, she said, I just began to speak and this came on me in a foreign language. She said, I didn't know what happened to me. It just came out of nowhere. And after church, the man walked up to her in the congregation and said, do you speak Arabic? No, I sure don't. I'm, you know, John Boone, my dad, and I'm from Texas and everything else. He said, you spoke and said this. The whole world will know who I am. The whole world, over and over, he said, will know who I am. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost speaking, saying, the earth will know there is a God who lives. That's apostolic. That's who we are. Folks, let's not get so professional we lose that type of thing. We need that in this house. This entire region needs a baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're going to have it in Jesus' name. God's going to break every wall down, every stronghold down, every wall down, every false doctrine down. There will be a revival church that hits this house. I'm telling you, God is going to do it. Not me, God will do it. Let's give God praise for it right now. God, we thank you for breaking down the spirits that try to oppose the work of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, God, for apostolic Holy Ghost revival that's anointed like the apostles had it. God, give it to us today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, 30 more seconds. Thank God for that right now. Every stronghold must come down. Every wall must come down. Amen. We're not prideful, cocky. No, no. I love everybody. I don't care who you call yourself. But my God, if you start talking about church, I'm going to talk about something real happening to me. You study the, I'm done. You study the European stats of the European church, and their kids are leaving in the droves over there. The majority of the church in the nation in Europe is elderly people. Why? Because they ain't nothing moving there. Ain't nothing happening there. I told you what happened here Sunday night. I watched kids, 5, 6, Brooklyn again, 4, 3, bouncing all over the house. That's what you call apostolic. That's what you call a church that's training the next generation. This is how we do church. This is how we worship. This is how we run. This is how we jump. I know I'm on fire all the time, and had somebody walk back and said, "You don't need all the fire you can get." I said, "Well, I got plenty of it. Bless God. We're gonna move this thing. Not me, but God's gonna move this thing with the pink iPad. God's gonna do this thing in Jesus' name. That's it. God's gonna do it. I can't do it. God's gonna do it. Amen. Hallelujah." Never forget, Sister Vesta Mangan told the story. She said every night she'd finish, she'd be playing the organ in the old POA church, and this lady had come on the platform, said, "Every service, just a grouch needed God." She said, every service I'd be playing, she said, "It's on." She said she'd come on the platform, and she chewed me out about what I was doing wrong. She said, service after service after service, she kept on, "If you do this, this be better. If you stop doing this, that'd be better." She said, finally, I told her, "This is the last night. You come up here to me. Grab me by the hand. We're going to shout this thing out of here." She said, I took her by the hand, and we shouted across the platform and took care of that devil. That's how you take care of things in the apostolic church. Don't let people try to run over and say, "Oh, we got..." No. Just praise with me for 30 seconds. You'll calm down. No, I feel stupid right now. The next time somebody tries tearing somebody down, I double dog dare you. Grab them by the hand and say, "Let's just dance for 30 seconds. I promise you, they'll stop coming by your way. I'm trying to be apostolic, and to be apostolic is to love my brother, is to love my sister, is to be a unified body." Don't be ashamed of who you are. Did y'all know? I got to hush. Did y'all know that God can move on Father's Day? Is that allowed in UPC? I'm telling you, God can move in a powerful way, even on Father's Day. As a matter of fact, I believe it's the will of God for dads to shake, to tremble, to run under the power of the Holy Ghost. Ain't nothing more apostolic than seeing a daddy lose his mind. Uh-oh, I felt that manly spirit. "Oh, it ain't gonna happen to me. You better be careful what you just said." Sarah laughed and said, "Not me." And Jesus said, "Just watch me about this time next year. There'll be an Isaac in this tent." Amen. Hear me, dads, I'm telling you. Father's Day is a great day. We come, we'll honor you. It'll be a fun service. We'll have some fun things we say and do. But you hear me, it's the will of God for your family to see how you operate in worship, in apostolic worship. It should be dad leads the way, not mama. God, I'm digging right now. It should be that dad gets out first, that dad goes first. It should be that dad goes to his babies and says, "Baby, come with daddy right now. Let me show you how we do this thing." It should be daddy saying, "Come on, mama. We've been going through hell for a week. Let's go dance on top of it." What is that? That's apostolic. That's what that is. That's who we are. Now, Sunday night was powerful. We had a full house for prayer meeting Sunday night. Wasn't that crazy? Shouldn't be crazy, but it was great. I dare you, dads. I dare you on Sunday morning just to step out first in worship. You see how quiet it's getting? I dare you to have 75 dads at the front on Sunday morning. And I dare you to bring your babies with you. Uh-oh. I promise you, daddy, if you'll bring your babies, they'll worship with you. They're timid and shy. Well, just break a leg. And they'll probably be embarrassed, but they'll be all right. Do it enough, though. They won't be embarrassed. They'll just tell their friends, "That's just my dad." And when you die, I'd rather die saying he was the worshipingest man I've ever met in my life. I'd rather die saying my daddy danced, he shouted, he rode. Come on, Dad.
It ain't, I feel a pre-Father's Day spirit here. We need dads to stand up and to be men and to say, this is how men worship. You can be a welder, you can be a pipe fitter, you can be a boiler maker, you can do anything you want to do, but real men still do this. Real men still say, God, I love you. God, I worship you. God, what is that? That's apostolic. It's who we are. Come on, 30 seconds, we're done. Just give God praise right now. God, we love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You promise, Dad? Thank you, Brother Price. Thank you, Brother. Come on, Dads. Let's do this thing on Sunday. Let's push it. I promise you. I've said it for years. Women have carried the load of the apostolic church, and I thank God. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here right now. My wife's prayed me through enough hell. Come on, honest men. My wife's prayed me through more stuff, more depression. My wife's done, God, thank God for my wife. But you better hear me. You better thank God for Job, who didn't give up on his wife when she got weak. And because she got weak, he didn't get weak. 10 more babies were coming back there. Ah, God, hear me, Dad. You got to be strong right now. Amen. It's in order, whether you believe it or not. It's in the Bible. I ain't got time for a Bible study, but if you don't believe me, just Google it and fact check me. Amen. I've been fact checked more probably in the last 3 years over stuff. It's in the Bible. Men should worship, men and women, but it's there. That's apostolic. Matter of fact, I'm going to take a step up. I challenge you, for hook Sunday morning, do it every service. See how it just, the temperature goes here. Then it's here, and then it's here. I'm trying to get it here before we leave. I've rambled too long, I know. Amen. Amen. Every service, I challenge you, every service, I promise you, if you do it enough, it becomes a habit. And what better habit than to be a worshiping church on every service in the front of this house, like a mosh pit down here? The Holy Ghost is breaking out. Amen. God bless you for coming to church tonight. We love you. Amen. Don't ever be ashamed to be an apostolic Pentecostal, baby. That's who you are. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great church. God, help us, Holy Ghost, to follow after you, to pursue you, God. Thank you for your goodness, God. Meet with us again on Sunday, God. We've come to honor you, the greatest Father of all, God. Help us, Holy Ghost, to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.